Well, I could just listen to that theme all day long, and it's programmed to play all day long in case something happens to us, but we're going to speak over it. This is Emmanuel for Off the Wall, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi.
And, wow, it's gridlock out there, isn't it?
I can't believe it. The traffic on campus is unprecedented.
Are you listening to us on campus in a car? If so, you're probably saying nasty things, because we walked over here and it's just, I've never seen, this is New York City type traffic. It's just, nobody's moving.
It
both
must,
directions.
It must be like a closed road. They have like have to have completely shut down part of the arterials that lead to the campus, because there's no other explanation.
Both directions. It's weird. I've never seen anything like that.
It's truly bizarre. It makes no sense.
So if you're thinking of driving on campus, might want to reconsider for a little while.
Take a bicycle or walk but don't get in a car and try to go anywhere, because this is not the moment to do it.
We have reporters out on the street trying to figure out what's going on. Unfortunately, they're in a car too, so they're not getting anywhere. That's just the way it goes sometimes. Hey, a lot going on in the news tonight. Hurricane 9/11. Yeah, I'm the first one to say it. I've already trademarked it. You can't just use it. Okay, Hurricane 9/11. That's going to happen maybe next Monday. That's what they're saying. Landfall next Monday. Florida or the Carolinas. You pick it. Anyone's guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, a lot of people are leaving. A lot of people just not even staying around for this. I've heard,
because everybody can just leave.
People are saying
hop in their Learjet and take off someplace.
Yes, the well-to-do of those in the path of this storm are boarding their storm jets right now.
You know, we're going to get into this a little bit later, but I just can't help but notice that there's a storm of the century almost every couple of weeks now. Remember Harvey?
Yeah, that was last week, right?
That was last week's hurricane. I remember it like it was yesterday. And that was the storm of the century. It brought 50 inches, 60 inches of rain in a couple of days to Houston and other places. All right, and that was a once in 500-year flood. And now you have this Category 5 hurricane bearing down that has grown faster than any hurricane in memory. And we're still not supposed to take climate change seriously in the eyes of some. Well, you know, here at an educational institution such as Stony Brook, we do. We take it seriously because we have scientists. A lot of them are stuck in traffic right now, but we have scientists on campus and throughout the entire university community who study these things. In fact, there are scientists all throughout the country who study these things. And when you start suspecting their motives, you have to start suspecting what's going on inside your head. And we've talked about this in the past. What motivates the people that question things like climate change, who deny that something's going on, that there are a ridiculous amount of massive storms taking place in a relatively short period of time. And here's more evidence. More evidence. Hurricane, what is this one? Irma?
Irma is the name of it, yeah.
Right. Well, Irma could come up here, you know.
Remember, the denial, though, is something that was paid for. That was something the fossil fuel industry underwrote, because they needed, similar to, and it's been compared to, the tobacco campaigns. Mm-hmm. Around whether or not, instilling a doubt about whether or not tobacco caused forms of lung cancer and so on.
Do you remember
it's
when
the same marketing technique?
But do you remember when there was all this commotion over people saying that smoking was dangerous, and how that was just opinion?
Right.
And now pretty much everybody agrees. I remember when they started having no smoking cars on the Long Island Railroad. Everybody was upset. Not everybody, obviously, but there were a lot of people upset by it. Smokers, of course. I remember when in New York City, when they proposed a ban in bars of cigarettes. Oh my God, all bars are going to close. Everyone's going to go out of business. There'll be riots in the street. Didn't happen. And you know what? Now it's the norm almost everywhere. You don't smoke in bars. If you have to smoke, you go outside. I remember the same thing when recycling reared its ugly head and was going to put everybody out of business because you had to separate cans from garbage.
Take away our freedom.
And now that's the norm. You know, mm-hmm. you hear the same thing about wind turbines. Oh my God, they're going to destroy, destroy what? You guys like destroying things. You think you'd be, you know, on board for that. But no, it's going to destroy the view. Yeah, it won't destroy the environment. It'll destroy the view. First, I like the view. I like the view of wind turbines. And when they put up, what is it, 250 wind turbines on the south shore of Long Island off the coast, I'll be down there every night watching those as the sun goes down. I will. I don't have anything else to do.
Probably along with a lot of other people.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I called it first, though. I want my own spot. So, yeah, you have to really question what's going on.
And those campaigns for climate to counter that, think of all the marketing and media that had to be created to actually tell the truth. And that's been ongoing. It's been years and decades of pushback, essentially, in the market of ideas that have spread the sort of awareness that we have now. And that's actually thanks to a lot of people in the scientific community, a lot of people in the media community, translating from one community to another, and as well as industry. Some private industry, of course, has participated in making it, for lack of a better term, cool to make your business more efficient or try a different form of power in your home or whatever choice you get to make. At least finding things that you can replace those choices with that have less of an impact as far as carbon and other pollutants go.
I think what we're saying here basically is that when you see resistance of a sort that seems to fly in the face of progress, and by progress I mean making things actually better, making things cleaner, more efficient, moving in a positive direction and not doing more of the same that clearly isn't working very well, when you see that kind of resistance, question the source, question the motive. Because there's usually money behind it. There's usually the status quo behind it. And those are two things that just don't work over time.
The telltale signs of it benefiting only the very few instead of the majority of people out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's kind of a theme of what we're seeing around us almost every day. And boy, do we have a lot to go over today, because so much has been happening. But first, you know, let's focus on something some of you might be aware of, because there's been some talk about it on the net, and we do have to address this this issue, which is kind of close to home, i.e. us. Well, you know, we know that we go on the air once a week for an hour, and we say things. And we comment on the world around us. And it's meant to be provocative. It's meant to be thought-provoking. It's meant to spur discussion. And oftentimes, as in tonight, we open up the phones so that people can call in and exchange ideas. Sometimes argue. Sometimes, you know, challenge us, which is great. You know, that's what it's all about. The dialogue is what's important. That's what a radio station like WUSB is all about, has always been. But turns out at least one person, but probably quite a few people, did not like what we were saying in recent weeks, and has taken action against us to try and have us, I don't know, disciplined, thrown off the air. I don't know. I don't know what the end goal is. All I know is that complaints have been filed against things that we've been saying. And what I'd like to do, just for the few minutes we can spare on this, is focus on what those issues are. Explain those issues, invite anybody to discuss the issues with us, and hopefully keep the dialogue open, or maybe open the dialogue for the first time for people that think the right thing to do when you hear something that challenges your perspective is to try and silence the other perspective. I see this everywhere. I see this on the left. I see this on the right. People want to shut down the opposition rather than talk to the opposition. The thing is, you know, what we were talking about last week, I thought it was one of the most unifying shows we've done in a long time, because we had just gotten back from a trip to the deep south. You know, we were in Tennessee and Mississippi and Louisiana, And I was talking about how much I loved it down there, how great the people are. I'm looking at what's going on in Houston now, of people taking care of each other. And that's fantastic. It's got nothing to do with government. It's got nothing to do with left versus right, Trump, Obama, none of that. It has to do with good people who look out for each other. All right. And you will find those people, regardless of what you might be told, in all camps. You'll find those people in the religious right. You'll find those people in the socialist left. You'll find those people in Muslim countries. You'll find those people in Christian countries. You'll find those people everywhere. You know what? You'll even find them in North Korea. You really will. I've been there, and I know, because I got lost in North Korea, and people helped me. It's incredible, just the human aspect. And I think that's kind of what we were at least attempting to talk about last week, and I think it might have sailed past a few people the points we were trying to make. So what I'd like to do, rather than simply have a defense and say, you know, we're right, you're wrong, I'd like to play excerpts. I like to double down, actually. Play excerpts of the things that were deemed most objectionable in last week's program, and then discuss each of them, and invite people to call in and say what's on their minds.
Yeah, this is as far as we can tell. This is what we've gleaned from what was said.
From what we've heard so far of the alleged complaint. Well, it's not an alleged complaint; it's a real complaint. But these are the points that apparently were offensive, harmful, needed to be reined in. And, you know, a place like this, a college campus, a radio station that champions free speech and has been applauded for it worldwide, those kind of arguments don't really fly. Not too far, anyway. It's controversial. It's about exchanging ideas. We air alternative thought. We've done that since day one. I think there was a controversy on the air within the first 10 minutes of us signing on back in 1977, 40 years ago. It's continued pretty much nonstop since then, whether we're talking about music or news or even sports. You know, it's a place where people exchange ideas, and we don't shut each other down. This is not your safe space. All right. This is far from it. You know, we encourage people to express themselves, to feel discomfort at times at hearing something disturbing. We wouldn't air Democracy Now if we didn't believe that. Obviously, not everything is right in the world. Not everything is something you're going to agree with in the world. And sometimes you will even be able to convince people they're wrong. You know, you'll be able to be part of that dialogue. You don't get that when you shut people down. You don't get that when you just turn off and cover your ears and pretend that it's not out there. Because these things are out there, and we're confronting them every day on a variety of levels. And that's kind of what we're talking about nonstop on this show.
Yeah, we definitely want to be able to ask the questions and wonder about these things, how things will go. What can we expect of the world given the kinds of things we read about? And this is part of that, finding out and imagining, you know, what the logical extent of some of this is.
All right, I'm going to play a clip from last week's show. For anyone who might have complained about it, I guess this is your worst nightmare. But yeah, we're going to play it again. We're going to play a minute or so of something that was deemed objectionable by at least one person out there. And, you know, it's fine to object to things. It's fine to be upset. But when you try to shut us down as a result of that, that's when you're stepping over the line. You know, when you can't handle somebody who says something that you find to be controversial or just different than what you believe in, talk to us. You know, we give our email address out, otw@2600.com. All right. Nobody wrote to us saying there was a problem with this. In fact, we heard from several people saying, great show. It gets a little boring after a while. Yeah, we hear that all the time.
Well, people wanted to contribute too.
Yeah, weren't even raising funds and people wanted to contribute.
And we're responding to some of the things that we were questioning.
And we direct them to our website, wusb.fm, where they can do things like that.
And donate.
Whatever they feel like doing. We're opening up the phone lines this week. In fact, we're on for an extra half hour this week. What do you think about that? Yeah, that's even more of a nightmare to have people who object to us. We're on until 7:30 tonight. That's never happened before. Thank you, Finn. Thank you for the extra time. And Finn will be in at 7:30. So don't panic, people who follow Finn's radio show. One of many, many amazing programs here on WUSB. When we were traveling in the Deep South, we were still listening to WUSB on occasion. We did listen to local radio a lot, which is great to do that as well. It's good also to be able to tune in and hear sounds from home, you know, especially when we're in New Orleans and we can hear, you know, the Bayou show on Thursdays with Chris Laporta. That's amazing to hear.
Yeah, there was a huge benefit this weekend,
Benefest this weekend coming up.
It is this weekend, and I'm sorry, Bradstock, also kind of a benefit. It's a collaborative event. It's just the station covers it along with a couple other...
It's a benefit for the ears of our listeners.
That's right.
How I like to look at it.
But, a benefit for the music culture.
But we're having a Benefest, which is kind of a mix between a benefit and a festival, and that's our word, too. You can't just use that either. Go to WUSB-Benefest.com. How do you spell Benefest? Because it's not really a word. Benefest. And don't forget the dash before it. And it's happening at Katie's of Smithtown on West Main Street in Smithtown next Saturday and Sunday, the 9th and the 10th, right before the hurricane, the 9/11 hurricane hits hits Florida or wherever it's going. We have so many bands playing. I'm looking at the list now on the wall. It's simply incredible. Hey, but I'm straying from what the topic is, which is how reprehensible we are, and we're going to show that or play that clip 1 minute, and then we'll see what might have upset somebody from last week. This is us. Boy, the snowflake thing really gets me, because you know they call us snowflakes, and then when we hit back, all of a sudden we're thugs and goons. Uh-huh. In Antifa, and that's the thing. You know, if you look at Fox News, you look at the New York Post, you listen to Trump, Antifa. That's what we should be concerned with, and how they're being violent. Well, you know what? They're being violent against fascist Antifa. You know, that's sort of what it's all about. And I think, you know, we were violent in World War II against kind of the same thing. And I don't think anybody was criticizing the Americans for being violent. Well, maybe towards the end a little bit. But point is, you have to fight the evil in our world. And fascists are evil, so bring it on, you know. These are people you should be attacking. I just don't get the criticism of these so-called snowflakes finally fighting back and saying, no, we're not going to let you do this. And tearing down the statues and you know, hitting a Nazi or two. I'm all for that.
Yeah, I think that if you're concerned that Antifa is showing up, perhaps you should stop looking like a fascist.
Yes.
And behaving so taking on the regalia and language of that.
Okay, here we are. We're back now, live on September 5th. Boy, that was horrible. Can't believe we said those things. Preaching violence. That's, I believe, what the accusation actually is that we were inciting violence. You know what? If you believe that war is ever justified, then I suppose you're inciting violence. I'm hearing a lot of violence being incited right now with this whole North Korea situation, where people in government, in our government, are actually talking about nuclear strikes, killing tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of people. And these people still have their jobs. These people still go about their day-to-day business. And they get to incite violence on such a massive scale when, in my eyes, they should be immediately taken out of their positions of power, because they're leading us down an extremely dark path. And they're not thinking logically about how to deal with a difficult situation that they're perpetuating themselves. Okay, so the thing is, the hypocrisy is you could read it a mile away. We can preach violence when we're right, when we think that we're morally superior. That's fine. But if anybody says it's time to stand up for yourself and fight back against a totalitarian or fascist force, well, all of a sudden you've crossed over a line. And I think that's utter nonsense. Yeah, Antifa should fight back. They should do what they've been doing. And if that involves violence, so be it. As we said, keep in mind, Antifa, anti-fascist, fascist, anti-Jew, anti-black, anti-gay. In fact, anti just about anybody who's not like them. They're anti-people, whereas Antifa is anti-ideology that is anti-people. I can't believe I have to explain this. I feel like I'm really talking down to people, but for God's sake, it's not a bunch of violent people going out and just terrorizing anybody who doesn't agree with them. It's a reaction to people who want to do horrible, horrible things and have in the past.
Well, and have in like the last couple of weeks. Don't forget the people protecting this statue, the fascists, were also those that the driver of this vehicle who killed someone was aligned with.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
and that's a violent act.
Yeah,
very violent act.
If some people were maybe shoved, or there were like some dust ups in the midst of that, I mean, given the context, I don't think that you can really compare. And there are going to be emotions running incredibly high at these kinds of actions. But that's part of being involved in activism and being vocal and making your presence known. And yeah, I mean, you're not going to necessarily get in a bunch of minivans or something and return in kind to the same kind of violence, but I certainly I wouldn't be surprised if those there fighting against that who see such violence don't respond in tough ways. I mean, you got to push back
at no point were we advocating driving vans into crowds of people as has been done against the demonstrators. That to me, in fact, any violence to me is reprehensible. I don't advocate this kind of thing at all. And really what we're talking about here are people that are simply standing up for themselves and refusing to be intimidated by fighting back. But, you know, how many times have you watched a World War II film where there are fascists marching against innocent people and they get mowed down by some, gung-ho American soldier and we're all cheering, you know?
It's so the same violence.
It's kind of makes our eyes roll a bit. But please, to accuse people who are standing up against fascists of being violent is just ridiculous, and to complain when we defend them is even more ridiculous. Okay, but that's one of three potential items, because we don't know exactly what triggered the complaint. Let's play another one. I think this one might have a better chance of being the actual reason. Again, this is a clip from last week's show. How many people has Antifa mowed down with a car who are protesting? How many people did Black Lives Matter mow down in a church just for the color of their skin? Look at the numbers. Look at the history. And you'll see the reaction is very, very different from the actions. The actions are the problem. And that is what needs to be focused on. Anyone who's focusing on something else, I think they're trying to cover up the actions. I think they're trying to make excuses. Yeah, Antifa can say nasty things, and they'll throw tear gas back at the cops. You know what? Did you see that video? My God, this really upset me. The cops threw a tear gas canister at these demonstrators. One of the demonstrators just basically kicked it back, not even harshly, just kicked it back in their direction. They shot him. They shot him in the groin with a pellet or something. Everyone's laughing at this. Oh, he got what he deserved. No, he didn't. He should be able to shoot the cops now. That's what I think. You know, he was just standing there. They shoot him because he doesn't want to be tear gassed by them. They think that's justified. Well, how do you like it when it happens to you? But all of a sudden, you even touch a cop and it's like the worst thing in the world. We're all human beings. We have to come to terms with this and not put people on pedestals. You know, the way that the inequity just continues disturbs me so much. Okay, back live. Okay, I was not advocating shooting a cop. I said, yeah, he should be able to shoot the cop, meaning shoot the cop the same way the cop shot him, or sniper, or whatever, the cowardly idiot who shot him in the groin, simply for kicking a can lightly away from him because he didn't want to accept the tear gas into his lungs. You know, I would do the same thing, except probably I'd kick it a little harder. But because he did that, oh, yeah, you're fair game. We're going to shoot you with a pellet and also shoot you in your groin just to make it either funny or painful or whatever. I'm sorry, you do something like that, and you deserve something in return. You know, you deserve some kind of retribution because you are being a very bad person and a person, not some overlord. A human being that is doing a bad thing. And we have no trouble saying, yeah, this guy deserved it because he dared to kick a tear gas canister back in the direction of the cops. Not even throwing it at the cops, kicking it back in their direction. We can say he deserved it. We can say that. But to say that the cop also deserves it for doing something even worse to him. Oh, no, you can't do that. Oh, my God. My point is, and this is the point I make consistently, is that cops are human beings. They should be treated as human beings, not vilified as these dark demons that aren't even human, but also not allowed to get away with anything they want to get away with. And, you know, be treated the way that you would treat others, I think, is the way that I could sum this up. And to see something like that happen, just it's really outrageous. And you know, it reminds me also of something that happened. There was some kind of demonstration a long time ago, maybe 6-7 years ago, in Italy. There's this kid who coincidentally was named Giuliani, was preparing to toss a fire extinguisher at the police in some demonstration, and the cops shot him dead, killed him. Everybody, media, politicians, general public, pretty much all the comments I read said, yep, he had it coming, he deserved it, what an idiot, why would he do something like that? And that's what you get when you try to attack cops. You know, I don't agree with that, but I can kind of understand the perspective behind it. But think about what's being said there. Think about the justification for killing a kid. Okay, because he was about to throw a fire extinguisher in the direction of cops. We don't seem to have a problem saying, yeah, he got what he deserved. But you turn it around even slightly and say that maybe the authorities deserved a little pain as well, and you've stepped over the line. That, to me, is what the problem is, that we're creating this huge inequity where somebody has all this power, and somebody else just has to accept that they have all this power and do whatever they're told. All right? You know, there are times when that kind of authority is not abused, and there are far more times where it is abused. And I just feel that we're moving in that direction more and more.
Yeah, it's a heck of a lot of latitude that you're putting in the authorities' hands. And there's so many instances recently where police have been basically walked from allegations of abuse and so on, and it's sort of a nod to this like pack mentality too, that just because they're there in large numbers and have a lot of equipment justifies every part of what they do. And we've seen this in protests in the city in New York, and we've seen this in other parts of the world where actually they use live ammunition. In Venezuela, just in the last couple months, we've seen tons and tons of protests where people actually die as a result of their actions in the streets. You have to qualify each one of these situations.
Interesting point, Kyle. Okay, the police in Venezuela using live ammunition, killing people in the streets. Now, if we saw a news report of some of those people fighting back, taking out some cops, taking over, they have tanks. They have all kinds of military gear, as do our cops. We'd be cheering. We'd be saying, yeah, good for them. The people win in the end. What I'm saying is that we're reaching that point where we see the police as an occupying force, where they pretty much can execute people and get away with it. Now, let me ask you a question. Remember the case recently? You know, I, there are so many of them. I've lost track of where this one is. Where the African American man in the car who told the cop
Philando
he had a gun.
Castile.
Okay, and his wife or girlfriend was recording it. I don't know how she kept her composure. Continued to say sir, continued to be all respectful. Witnesses the cop pretty much execute her husband when he wasn't doing anything at all to justify that. He's going to get away with it, of course. If you were witnessing that happening, would you just take it? You know, if you could stop it by firing on the cop, would you? It's a good question. And I feel that we're being programmed to not even consider that, to just accept the executioner's bullets and to say we can never question what these people do to us. We must just be victims and hope that justice will one day be served.
Out of self-preservation.
Yeah, I think that it reaches a point where you have to fight back. Now, are we at that point yet? I don't know. But it seems like people are pushing us in that direction. And we need to take a good long look before we get to a point where it becomes warfare, open warfare in the streets.
Yeah,
it's certainly possible.
You have to look at these things because you take one variable away. Okay, it's a beanbag gun. Now it's a real gun. Mm-hmm. You know, you take one tactical choice away from these authorities. And again, in each situation, who is in control? Whose interests do the authorities serve in that moment? And what recourse do you have other than to be active and in the streets? And what potential risks are you taking on? And as citizens, it is incumbent upon us to take an interest because this is how our taxes are used.
Mm-hmm.
And who is using the resources we pay for and to what end is of the utmost importance to everyone, especially if your neighbors and family members are at the other end of that enforcement and authority.
Now, I know that this dialogue would be different if the police were conducting Ruby Ridge or Waco type invasions against white America, against people in the NRA who have lots of guns, who are able to defend themselves. Then things would change. That's not the way it is now. It's they're not being attacked. It's mostly people of color and people who really can't or don't want to fight back
against
students. Yeah, and the NRA is not interested in protecting their rights. Obviously, that's been proven over and over again. You know, we're not at the stage where that is something that's happening. But it could very well change. And we're seeing the militarization of local police forces where it becomes more and more of an occupying force. It's very troublesome and worrisome. And so when we see something like that on video, you have to have that conversation and say, how far is too far? And how do you fight back against this sort of thing?
And I think one of the things you were pointing out is that, look, there is no equal weapon. There's nothing that those protesters had. This guy just basically kicked a can lightly, uh-huh, and was shot with some other weapon.
Yeah, look at the video.
And
it's
you
online.
Know, again, across all protests, it's whatever it is, a water cannon, shields, batons. There's all kinds of tactics. But as protesters, just being vocal and pushing back and maintaining space, e.g. in the streets, you can't. Mm-hmm. You don't have you would not be allowed in there. You would be taken out of there if you had a beanbag gun or whatever equivalent protesting tool. And that's the point. The point is people were just existing there in space, gathering, making their concerns known. And authority doesn't want that, and they feel they can use whatever tools and toys they have to shove you around instead of have other people bear witness to your message.
Now, we'll never know, in all likelihood, who it was who shot that kid who kicked the tear gas canister, because it's part of a faceless monolithic entity that was keeping order. The point I think we're trying to make here is that when you humanize forces like that, then you have more of a chance of things not getting out of control, and you also have a chance of having accountability. So when I say something like, yeah, the cop should get the same treatment, the cop should get the same treatment. He's not above the law. Nobody is above the law. Nobody should ever be above the law. And people should be accountable for their actions. Now, there's a story that that just happened, actually. And I think this is a good example of this. A photographer for a local newspaper in Ohio is recovering after being wounded in an officer-involved shooting. Andy Grimm from the New Carlisle News was shot by a Clark County sheriff's deputy during a traffic stop on Monday night, yesterday. In a Facebook post, the newspaper says Grimm is recovering after surgery. He expects to be released from the hospital tomorrow. Officials were on the scene of the deputy-involved shooting last night. Cruisers blocked the 400 block of North Main Street after 11 p.m. According to a post on the New Carlisle News Facebook page, photographer Andy Grimm was shot, is what they say. Apparently, he was pulled over by Deputy Shaw for a traffic stop. Actually, that's not what happened. I think they got the facts wrong here in the Facebook post, because what Grimm said from his hospital room is that he was actually taking photographs of lightning in the area when a traffic stop happened on Main Street near Studebaker's restaurant. He was not the subject of the traffic stop. Now, according to the newspaper, Grimm had his camera and tripod in his hands. Deputy Jake Shaw, yes, they actually identified the cop. That's something they don't do often. Sometimes they keep that name secret. So they actually identified the guy. Deputy Jake Shaw apparently mistook those items for a weapon and fired, hitting Grimm in the side. Yeah. Now, here's where the human part comes into the story. Grimm tells the media he knows the deputy who shot him. He doesn't want Shaw to lose his job because of the shooting. He's encouraging people not to not to badmouth him, not to tear down law enforcement as a result of this. The whole thing is unfortunate and tragic. Okay, you know, I wouldn't necessarily take such a humanitarian approach, but this is what happens when you have the human aspect. People make mistakes. This cop did something that was wrong. Should pay some kind of penalty for it. I don't know exactly what. But when you have a faceless entity just shooting people because they thought they were misbehaving in some way, you don't get that human touch. And this adds color to this kind of scenario in a way that I don't think we've been seeing. And it's just, it kind of illustrates the point that that we're all human in the end.
Yeah. Yeah, and that you have to think of, have some level of forgiveness, I guess. And that is an extreme example of the other end of the spectrum, really. That level of forgiveness, to have that compassion for someone who's working that does make a mistake like that.
This story allows us to know the person's name, to know what they did, where they were, what they thought. Rather than, yeah, we're not going to tell you anything. We're not going to tell you the guy's name. We're probably going to manufacture evidence and say that somebody was doing something. We'll erase the body camera footage so you'll never really know. And just create this whole air of suspicion that's going to foster all kinds of hostility for decades on end. You could go that way. You could get another tank for your police department and roll down the street and tell everybody to stay in their houses. Or you can have a situation like this where the names are put out there. We understand what's going on. The people even know each other. And I would trust that situation a lot more to get it right.
Yeah. And there's been similar situations with photographers. Remember, that was actually the impetus for the collateral murder video. Mm-hmm. Reuters photographers carrying equipment that looked like a particular type of launcher or whatever.
And even after they knew they had shot photographers, nothing happened to them. You know, no. Do we even know the names of the people who shot those
the
guys
helicopter
in Iraq?
Gunners? No,
no, no, no penalties at all. Okay, we have one final clip. Then we want to take some phone calls, which would be really cool to hear from some people. This has to do with we were accused of inciting more violence by blowing up buildings.
I believe this was a section a little bit later. We were talking about other stories where this has been this issue of protesting unjust authority and how that power is wielded.
Well, let's see how it unfolds. This is, again, a clip from last week's show. And having the conversation, always open to having the conversation. And also, let me clarify, too, I don't see cops as the enemy. A lot of people I know do. Cop, by definition, is a bad guy. Not true. Not true at all. It's like anybody else. They're human beings. They're just like us. And I don't think cops want to shoot people. But there are some psychos that do. They need to be found. They need to be punished for what they do. And their fellow cops need to stand up to them. That doesn't happen enough. That's a huge problem. But to simply label people because of their job or their position, that's where we get into bad places. But that said, you know, I think that we have to stop letting certain groups of people just get away with murder because, well, they can, you know. Oh, I feared for my life because this guy was holding a banana, so I shot him. Oh, sorry, didn't mean to do it, but... you know, we saw the film Detroit recently where I don't know how much of that was actually true. I recommend people see this film, but it's very, very disturbing about the riots that happened in Detroit back in the 60s and how these cops just went on basically a killing spree inside a motel because somebody fired a blank, made a sound of a gun.
Cap gun.
And basically, worst thing in the world, how dare you do that? And they actually murdered people as a result of that. Having seen that film, walking out of there, I would not have shed a tear if the entire precinct had been bombed and blown up at that point. Because every cop in that film was culpable. They all were a part of it. They covered up or they just allowed it to continue. And I'm sorry, you don't get away with that. You just don't. Okay, we're back live again. All right, you know... to the people who were bent out of shape by those remarks, may I remind you, we were talking about a film. We were talking about a fictitious precinct in a film. And I was saying how I would not lose any sleep or shed any tears if that fictitious precinct with those supposedly fictitious evil cops got blown up. What, I can't even say that anymore? I can't criticize fictitious cops? This is the one that really, really gets me, because we're talking about a scenario that plays out on the screen in front of you. If people are that evil, if people are that murderous, and if people think they can get away with that sort of thing, they need a good wake-up call. And yeah, blow up that damn precinct in that damn film, because those people are evil.
It could have been the next scene.
It could be the sequel. I don't know. But, you know, again, I don't know how accurate Detroit, the movie, was.
Well, the film, it portrays a city under siege. The National Guard, there are many different agencies involved in that mm-hmm. particular couple days, the riot or whatever that was, the actions there were.
Mm-hmm.
So these kinds of scenarios are, you know, they were a potential outcome. And this particular hotel was basically descended upon a bunch of guys that were playing good cop, bad cop, and it kind of goes awry.
Well, it was pretty much bad cop as far as I'm concerned. There were no good cops there. But that's, you know, that's where the fiction kind of comes in. And, you know, if anything, I would say maybe this film is being a bit heavy-handed. I would like to know more facts, and I'm upset that... I haven't learned more facts. I was never taught this in school. Most people aren't aware of what actually happened. A lot of it was buried, covered up. But in a situation like that, I mean, let's stick to the screen for now. In that kind of a situation, justice should prevail, and justice is not walking away and getting away with murder, which is what happened in that film. And in real life, you have to make these decisions and change those things that are wrong. But seriously, I mean, let's get real here. We're talking about a movie. All right. And if we can't actually talk about how we would like to see a particular film go without getting complaints against us, that's I don't think we're the problem. I really don't. All right. And that pretty much sums up what I think people were upset about.
Well put. All right. And if you'd like to talk more about this, we're going to have an opportunity to actually accept a call.
We are on for an extra half hour tonight.
Hooray.
And we can facilitate your phone calls. Again, you know, if you have a problem with anything we're saying, come at us. We're right here. No, I don't mean to sound quite like that. I mean, come at us on the phone and write to us. You know, talk to us. Have the dialogue. That's what it's all about. We don't talk enough.
Yeah, not this like, I'll show them.
631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. You know, we've never taken a phone call in this studio before, so you could be the first person actually to go on the air. And there's a good chance I might accidentally hang up on you.
You can tell us how Bradstock went.
Yeah, if you were there.
You can tell us what you did for Labor Day.
You don't have to talk about this. You can talk about other things as well. You can talk about DACA, you know. That's the big news today, apart from Hurricane 9/11.
Or maybe you're a student and you're going back to school.
People know what they are. You don't have to tell them what they might be.
Well, maybe you're just realizing you're a student.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe you're calling right now wondering why we're not picking up the phone. Let's do that.
Okay.
I'm going to press this button and hopefully it works. Let's see what happens. Good evening. Is somebody there?
Oh, yeah. I'm here. Someone's here because I called you.
Well, you called me. Well, you got me. Here I am.
Yeah, well, your phone hit, so I know that'll work for you.
Okay. Well, you're on the air. What do you have on to say?
I'd like to chime into some of the things you're talking about.
Go right ahead. You're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. Oh, this whole thing is just not acceptable. You know, there's a possibility that income tax from what you earn from your wages was never passed by Congress. So you can look at the film by Aaron something who made Trading Places. He's dead now, but he toured a film free for viewers, free. And there's more, and on and on. And this, let's stop with the drug, the old addiction drug of military-industrial complex. It's every industrial or investor complex they can possibly pull off without you getting to it. So then what can you get to? Mostly nothing. With the Hillarys and the Donalds and the whatever. So let me back up. I am a USB VAI, so that would that might mean off the wall. That might mean off the hook. It means everything else, too. The PC radio show, Gary Noel, Dr. Majid Ali is brilliant and will take that oxygen and go through everything in your body. But I don't want to go on and on. This is all nonsense, and that we're stuck in the Bush-esque type of crap to fear to have to think we have to fear that we can't speak up. I implore everybody to try to be creative, to think of ways to speak up, and like Bernie, like that other guy, they made a film or tried to make a film about I'm just blank on his name. Stay with me. I went through incarceration myself on bogus crap. Then again, my own actions caused me to get in some of that. So now I'm totally whole here by my statement. But if you have these issues, or if you're against, but what I'm saying, I taught myself law in there, and I think we will call him Emmanuel, although I'm a Suffolk County cat who's over in East Setauket and Setauket and Stony Brook. I used to stay at Lana Wanna Lane in Stony Brook. I used to stay at St. James because my family has beach cottages there. I don't care if the powers that be look me up. What I'm saying is, I think some of the things he might have said tonight are past the envelope of safety with those ridiculous jailing, prosecuting powers that be.
Do you mean us?
No, I mean Emmanuel specifically.
Yes, well, that would be us. Okay, yeah, well, it's something to consider.
You, brother, you're my brother. Bernie, whoever he is, and I know who he is, but in his mom's Subaru, came to me one day, came to my, the address across my, from my address, because I had something to give him. So we all know who we are, but regardless, I'm saying, watch out, I'm not putting fear, I'm putting affirmation. Watch out for the people that will may come to you when you speak as boldly as Emmanuel spoke tonight, because there's a point where they may just throw you away,
mm-hmm.
I mean, literally incarcerate you is what I mean to say. Bernie won't argue with me and not have charges or have charges or not let you call your family. That's American, United States American law. Not let you talk to a lawyer. You know, we're talking Patriot Act level type of stuff. But you need to go forward and formulate a way, whether that means you need to take money out of your pocket, whether you have it or not, or have the cañones. I'm not Spanish. Cañones, that means a set of testicles in the anatomy, to go ahead and speak out against or be active against this ongoing nonsense and total onslaught of the powers that be. What do you mean? Let me remind you, the powers that be came from the Creator and the universe, not from Donald Trump. I'll also remind you, I am the guy that called the other show off the hook and said, yeah, I was a Suffolk County Board of Election Inspector, but not only that, I also am a model maker by my major in college. I got out of college and worked in a great machine shop with a biker. That's what my college director told me to do, my program director, model maker, but because I learned from a cool biker in Huntington Station. That's Suffolk County, Long Island, New York world. But regardless, I made a model for Donald Trump up the road in Huntington, not Huntington Station. Huntington, one block away, not even a block away, less than a block away from where Broadway meets Park Avenue. So there's a real GPS. I'm just telling you, I made a scale model for Donald Trump. I don't care, but I listen to Off the Wall, Off the Hook, BAI, and not just that. I have a good heart that's in disrepair, but I will not cater to these knuckleheads. And I appreciate what BAI and WUSB and Isabella has taught us and Kyle and Bernie and the others have taught us. Don't let it. We're just steps away from a war. I don't think that. Look at how diplomatically they're trying to avoid this Korean nonsense instead of already having sent in bombers.
Well, I don't think they're really looking that diplomatically into it, but they could certainly do a better job. But listen, I want to thank you for your kind words and just for thinking and expressing yourself. And I hope that you continue to do that and you continue to share your perspective and outlook, because that's what we really need to get through tough times that are ahead or that are existing now. We need to not be afraid to speak out and share that which we know about.
Can I just have a second? Things are not getting easier. They're going to look like they're getting more contorted and harder.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's an illusion. I personally am involved in some things that may break things open some. Not only that, I think worldwide, universally, some things have gone for the better. Then we also need to look at, is the nation of the United States of America literally going broke and having to turn to the International Monetary Fund for a loan? I don't know. I don't know that that's a fact. So I'm not going to come on your show and say it is, but it may be possible.
All right. Listen, I want to thank you very much for calling. And again, keep expressing yourself and thinking about these things. And good to hear from our listeners. Our phone number, 631-632-9872. That's 631-632-WUSB. And in fact, you are listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and 107.3 here on campus. We're taking phone calls on this extended edition of Off the Wall. Emmanuel over here, Kyle over there.
Yes, yes. And that listener sounded like he was making dinner on the stove.
Yeah, it did sound that way. I'm hungry now. And
I hope he has a good dinner.
Yeah, no, I kind of like the stream of consciousness that a lot of people express. And, you know, we're open to that. We're open to people who just are figuring it out and have been through all kinds of unique situations. It's that dialogue that is so valuable, that is so unique. And I hope that that we hear from more people. Again, 631-632-9872.
We understand everybody's busy, too. That it's after work. But we love to hear your voices.
After work, and they're not so busy. They're on the way home, or they're home already. And
right.
I don't know.
That's why we appreciate you contributing time when you're not working to calling in. And we have a little extra time tonight, so we're giving it back to you.
Finn will be in at 7:30. In fact, Finn is listening to the show right now in his car. I know it for a fact. And he'll be here. Don't race, Finn. Don't, you know, run red lights or anything like that. We're manning the fort till you get here.
We don't know that the on-campus traffic situation has changed any. It's potentially
it could
gotten
still be
worse.
Gridlock out there.
Finn could be driving across a baseball field for all we know.
Don't do that. They don't like it when you do that. We'll figure out what's going on. What's going on out there. So anyway, this other story today about DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Really, really horrible news, again, from the Trump administration. Makes them just look so incredibly cold-hearted and evil. We're basically close to a million young people are basically going to bed tonight wondering if they're going to be deported simply because they were brought into this country as children illegally. Now, they were given the promise that they would not be deported if they just give all their information to the government. And the government is going to betray them now because somebody else took power and has decided to change the rules. Now, what Trump is doing is actually rather clever. He's deferring to Congress. He's saying, Congress, you have 6 months to fix this and come up with a plan. But what he is undoubtedly going to do is attach things like funding for his stupid wall to this, making it impossible for Congress to come to any kind of a decision, and then blaming Congress when all these people have to be deported. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being basically born in this country? You know, if you're brought over when you're 2 or 3 years old, it's pretty much the same thing as being born in this country. You've lived here all your life. It's the only country you know, the only home you know. And to actually think that you are going to be kicked out because of who your parents were, because of your nationality, and this reasoning that this is somehow making us stronger, it just falls so incredibly flat, and just it's so upsetting to realize that these are the people in charge right now, that this is what they are saying, this is what they are doing. It is so very, very upsetting. We have more phone calls, so I said I'd take more phone calls, and that is what we're going to do. We'll talk about this in a little bit as well. Good evening. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't hang them up. I think they hung up. If you were calling, call back. Okay, there they are. I'm going to hit that button again. Is somebody there on WUSB?
Yes.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Hi, what's going on? Is this Emmanuel?
This is Emmanuel, yes.
Oh, hey, what's going on? I just wanted to say a few things about Antifa that you guys were talking about earlier.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure how to pronounce it even. Is it Antifa? Antifa?
Yeah,
you know, who decides?
I'm not sure, but okay. The thing is I feel like their memes are not necessarily what we need in our society. Like, they for one, for themselves, I've heard them a few times on NPR, and I've heard them talk on different shows, say that they do not believe in the First Amendment. They do not believe that certain speech, you know, what they call hate speech, should be a protected First Amendment right. And I just feel like it's not necessarily productive to fight, you know, illiberalism by illiberal means, you know.
Uh-huh. That you're saying, let's say Antifa for now. Antifa is saying they don't believe in the First Amendment? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I've heard you know, some people who are active or some, you know, in it actually say that they believe that any time it's a speech, like what they did at the Milo Yiannopoulos rally, well, he was like going to give a speech about his book. They started throwing trash cans and everything. He couldn't speak, and then his book shot to a bestseller. So it's almost as if they gave him, you know, a broader audience than he would have, you know, just by trying to squash his speech.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about that because I agree it can go too far. Where you know, somebody you object to, you disagree with, you're trying to silence, and I think that's almost always wrong. However, when somebody is directly inciting violence or hatred, such as neo-Nazis and fascists, I think that's a little different. I think that's not something that that people need to stand by and just allow to happen. Again, with Milo's situation, I don't know if that's the case. I've never actually heard him speak. I do know that he provokes an incredible reaction against people with some crowds. But I hear your point.
All right. I mean, I do agree that, you know, it depends on the case and the scenario, but, you know, I don't necessarily believe that, you know, what they believe in. The second that, you know, there's something hateful or somebody might be saying something you think is racist, that they should be just reacted with violence and shut them down because,
but you see,
you know, that's what...
You're saying they, and I just wonder why you wouldn't include yourself as part of an anti-fascist group, you know?
I'm not a fascist, and I don't believe in the, you know, in the way that Antifa, you know, their strategies. But I do not believe in fascism either. I believe that, you know, the way to fight illiberalism is by liberal ways, which is, you know, the things that we hold in a constitutional society.
So how would you fight a march of fascists that are coming towards you? What would be your strategy?
Yeah, you see, that's where I think that it really does depend on the situation, you know. But I do think that certain criticism of Antifa is fair.
Okay, yeah. No, I agree with that. Certainly, criticism of anybody is certainly fair. But, you know, I just think that they're getting some undue criticism. You know, like, for instance, with Trump. Trump basically equating the two sides. I mean, surely you see a difference between Nazis and and the people fighting Nazis. While they both might do things that are wrong, one has done things that are really wrong in the past, or they represent people that have done that. And I just think that's a huge difference.
Yeah, and I would never equate the two sides, but I'm just saying that, you know, as much as I do believe that they have the moral right, I believe that, you know, right now, and like, things are so divisive that you don't want to give the other side some kind of moral, you know, the moral high ground
by
being the first one to incite violence, you know?
You don't want to make them into heroes or martyrs or things like that. I understand that point. All right, listen, thanks very much for that call.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, take care. That's the kind of dialogue I like having. I don't totally agree on everything, but make some valid points. It's something to think about, going too far, you know?
Yeah, there's certainly, like, there's a lot of nuance to it, and you have, like, we saw this, I think, with Occupy, like, there's a lot of different people gathering around this idea of reining in some of the capitalist ideologies and things that were unjust about finance, and a lot of differences in how to actually address any one of those particular issues.
And we had fun with Occupy Wall Street, making fun of, you know, their over-inclusiveness, but you know, and the human megaphone and all. But, you know, they stood for good things in the end. Unfortunately, they just weren't organized enough.
There's a lot to be said, though, for knowing what you are against. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone there that was listening to other people and participating in that process, however they chose, whether it was helping out or writing a slogan on a sign, that's, I think, what you can draw as the same with the type of demonstrations around Antifa showing up at, say, a monument. They're against Nazi demonstrations in our country, and however that manifests, yeah, they're going to make choices and decisions that perhaps you wouldn't. They might not kick a tear canister the same way you do.
Yes,
but
they might not do it exactly the same way.
But you know, that's, you have to also look at these actions as something of individuals as well as one or the other side. Yeah, we're polarized, but even within an action, you have a really vast range of people who are there, yeah, to pronounce, yeah, that there are people against the Nazis who have shown up, but they're not all going to behave the same way. So.
Definitely not. Hey, I'd like to read a message from our president, to fill a little bit of time, and we'll take some phone calls. With the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program being rescinded, I would like to take this opportunity to reaffirm my unwavering support of the DREAM Act and of DACA, and that I continue to be passionate about these highly successful programs. I'm sorry, did I neglect to mention? The president of Stony Brook is what I meant. Did I not say that? President of Stony Brook.
Right, our president.
I should clarify these things.
The president of the Sea Wolves.
But just for a sentence there, didn't it feel good to hear something intelligent coming from the office of the president?
Very positive.
This is a statement. It was released today, actually. It is my hope that Congress will act to ensure that DACA remains in effect. It is important to reiterate that at Stony Brook University, we do not request or require immigration status as part of the admissions process, nor is immigration status a factor in student housing decisions. We do not share private information. Once a student is enrolled, we protect student confidentiality in line with federal and state law, and our university police department does not inquire into nor record the immigration status of students or other persons unless they have been arrested. Also, it is important for us to understand that U.S. immigration and customs enforcement policy characterizes colleges and universities as sensitive locations, that is, places where enforcement actions should not occur outside of extraordinary circumstances. It is critical for the university to remain a place where free exchange of ideas is safeguarded, but done in a way that respects our differences. Wow, I couldn't have said that better. We have seen how the recipients of DACA have a positive impact on our campus and broader community. Diversity of perspectives, thought, and understanding serves as a foundation of Stony Brook's academic enterprise and helps our students become global citizens. Let's do what's right and unite to support our dreamers together. Signed, Samuel L. Stanley, Jr., president of Stony Brook University. And, I wish the day was near where we could hear words like that come from the president of the United States. We won't for quite some time, but it's somewhat comforting to hear the words coming from the ruler of this land here, at least. Maybe that's not the right way to say it, but, you know, it's good to know that students here don't have to be afraid. It really is.
Yeah, it's reasoned and well put. Well, yeah. Put for a forward-thinking community such as Stony Brook. So
it's what has always, you know, been a magnet for me to not only go here as an undergraduate so many years ago, but to remain around, you know, helping out whatever way I can and just participating in this place. And I imagine all of our listeners and other fellow staff members feel similarly. And you might be listening from a different educational institution or a part of the world where such values are respected. Cling to those things. Value those things because they are under attack, under threat. Every day it seems we're hearing another chip in the armor that protects us being taken away. It's scary. I'm a little speechless because while we knew this was on the agenda, to see it actually happening, to see the demonstrations going on right now, happening throughout the country, and to see the fear in the eyes of those people who had called this their home their entire lives, to add that to the fear and objections of the transgender community and the military and of all kinds of minority groups that are feeling threatened by neo-Nazis, and the list just goes on and on. Healthcare and poverty, and I just hope that people continue to react against this, and that they don't get dissuaded, deflated too much, because it's easy. It's easy to lose faith and to feel like you're not gaining anything.
And listen to one another's needs and support the struggle that lands upon different groups in different ways. These are all the kinds of things that are bringing people together, that are galvanizing those who disagree with these tactics and this